be one of the few non-biased investment advisors who is not committed to anything except the market. And we wanted to get his take on the market and the economy. You can hear Peter on more than 45 stations around the country, as he is a radio broadcaster, writes for several entities, quoted all over the media. And we have Peter Schiff on the other end of our line. How are you, Peter?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Tell us about your background.
Well, I'm in the investment business. I run a brokerage firm. I have, we do asset management, investment banking, retail brokerage. I have a precious metals company. I also own an offshore bank that does international asset management and brokerage. And I've written several books. I kind of rose to a degree of prominence for being one of the few people to have publicly and accurately forecast the problems in the housing market and the ensuing financial crisis. I did that in a series of lectures I did around the country, articles I wrote, and books I published warning about the coming crisis. And unfortunately, it pretty much happened exactly the way I said it would. And unfortunately, along with those forecasts, I also described the mistakes that the government would make in response to that crisis. They've made them all. And as a result, we are headed for a much bigger economic collapse in the next few years than the one that we experienced in 08. And that is the subject of my forthcoming book, The Real Crash, America's Coming Bankruptcy, which is coming out in May.
Why didn't the government listen to you?
Well, maybe they didn't believe me, and certainly it wasn't good politics. I mean, the government caused the problem. It was the Federal Reserve. They kept interest rates too low. The government was guaranteeing all these mortgages, but, the public liked it. They liked the idea of getting rich quick. People wanted to just, get rich by owning a house, and so it was very difficult to try to rein on that parade. Nobody wanted to hear the truth, and government wants to keep making promises to the voters to get their votes. They don't want to level with the public that we're broke and that the government doesn't have all this money to give away, that if people want health care, they've got to, buy it themselves. They're not going to get it for free from the government because the government doesn't have any money. The government can only take money from other Americans, and Americans can't afford it. I mean, we've destroyed our economy with excess taxation, excess regulation, excess government spending, too much money printing, and there is a big price to pay for that. And people don't want to acknowledge it. Certainly, Wall Street didn't want to admit it. Wall Street was making a lot of money based on all this cheap money coming from the Fed, so they didn't want to acknowledge that it was all a fantasy.
Well, it seems like things have subsided somewhat, at least flatlined. I know the price of gas has not, but it looks like the housing market has stabilized, the unemployment rate. People are starting to spend more money. How do we know that you're not overreacting?
Well, the fact that people are spending more money is part of the problem. They don't have the money. They're borrowing it. That's where the spending is coming from, and a lot of the spending is coming from government. Savings rate is falling again. The trade deficit is rising. These are problems. I mean, we need actually less spending. What would be healthy would be a big increase in the savings rate. But unfortunately, that's going to be undermined by huge government deficits that are borrowing up whatever we are saving. So I don't think the economy is recovering at all. I think we're digging ourselves into a deeper hole. We're setting up the next crisis. It's a phony economic recovery. And you mentioned gas prices. Gas prices are rising because of the stimulus. It's because the Fed is printing all this money to buy up bonds that the price of gas is rising and the price of food is rising and other things. And gas prices are going to go significantly higher, as will the cost of just about everything else in the years ahead. I mean, one of the only things that might not go up is houses, because I think housing prices are still headed lower. But the cost of maintaining a house, of owning a house, is going to go up and up and up. Because utilities are going to get more expensive, maintenance is going to get more expensive, taxes are probably going to rise. So while homes may be losing value, the cost of owning them is going to go up and up.
Why are you so critical of Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke?
Well, I mean, there's a lot to criticize. I just did a lecture about that yesterday. But the Federal Reserve caused the housing bubble. It's not that they were a cause. They were the principal cause. Now, yes, Fannie and Freddie, and so the government helped. But the principal factor was the Fed. The Fed created the housing bubble as part of the stimulus to try to revive the economy after the stock market bubble burst, which was also a creation of the Federal Reserve. So the Federal Reserve is creating all these problems and now making them worse. And, you have to remember that the Federal Reserve denied there was a housing bubble, even after it burst. they actually did studies that concluded that there was no evidence of a housing bubble. So the Fed was completely clueless, or they lied to us. But either way, they have no credibility. And so I don't think we should be paying attention to the rosy outlook that anybody from the Fed has. And we have to recognize that the Fed is a very dangerous organization. They've done a lot of damage to this country. If you're upset about big government and big deficits, blame the Fed. Because if the Fed was responsible and the Fed let interest rates go up, then the government wouldn't be able to borrow all this money. The biggest problem we have in America is that interest rates are too low. And we're never going to have a real economic recovery. We're never going to have a sound economy until rates go up.
When we get in debt in my house or when we have to tighten the belts, that's what we do. When the budget's not where it should be, we stop spending where we need to, where we don't need to spend, and we make sure that we get our bills paid. Why do you think they have such a hard time in Washington, D.C. doing that?
Well, because the way you get votes is by paying off the people who support you, either the people who help get you elected, who donate to your campaign, who vote for you. So Washington is all about giving out other people's money. And so if you cut spending, then you have less other people's money to give out. And politicians don't want that. They don't want to surrender their power. They want more power. And so there's always going to be opposition to cutting spending in Washington. The problem is the Fed makes it easy because it buys up all the debt. If the Fed simply raised interest rates, which is what it should be doing, and raise them aggressively, the Fed would have no choice but to cut spending because they couldn't afford to borrow the money. But because the Fed prints the money to buy the bonds, they can afford it. But now all of us have to pay more for gasoline or more for food. So our standard of living is diminished because the Fed allows the government to spend beyond its means.
Peter, you mentioned that this debt is really going to cost us. Exactly what do you foresee happening and when?
Well, take a look at what's happening in Greece and something like that, only worse. I think we're going to have a collapse of the dollar. We're going to have skyrocketing consumer prices and interest rates. And it is going to be very, very difficult. You're going to have, civil unrest. It's not going to be a pretty picture when the Federal Reserve and the government bring this economy to its knees. But unfortunately, that is what they are in the process of doing.
When's that going to happen?
Well, I mean, I couldn't tell you, an exact date, but I think it's going to happen relatively soon.
5 years?
Oh, I think it will happen sooner than 5 years. I mean, I think it's more likely to happen over the next couple of years than 4 or 5 years from now. But I can tell you one thing. If we wait 5 years, if it doesn't happen for 5 years, it's going to be that much worse. That's the bad part. The longer it takes for this crisis to hit, the worse it's going to be when it does.
Now, let's say that Mr. Bernanke and President Obama, let's just say they called you up and they had you come into an office and they said, listen, we've been hearing you. We want to address this. What would you do to take care of this debt problem we
what
have?
What would I do? I would probably wake up because it would be because there's no way that they're going to invite me. I mean, look, it's my work is out there. You can read my books. In fact, when Congress had a hearing to try to look into the cause of the financial crisis, I tried like hell to be called as a witness. After all, I predicted it in a very public way, and I'm known around the world as one of the only people in the financial industry to have correctly called it. And I wanted Congress to at least listen to my testimony as to why it happened, and they wouldn't call me. The only witnesses they would call were the people who blamed capitalism and who thought we needed more government regulation. Yet none of those people forecast it like I did.
All right, what would you do to fix it, though?
They don't want my advice, but if they want to do the right thing, what we need to do is pretty much the exact opposite of everything we've done so far. Right? What we need to do is dramatically cut government spending, not increase it. We need to slash regulations and free up the markets so that we have more capitalism and less socialism, less central government planning. We need higher interest rates. We need the market to set interest rates. We don't want the Fed to set interest rates just the way the old Politburo used to set the price of wheat. We need market forces there. And we need to reform our tax code. I mean, everything our tax code does destroys economic growth, destroys employment opportunities. We need to shrink the government. We need to get it back down to its constitutional functions. which means we have to abolish a lot of departments, a lot of agencies. We've got to take a look at these entitlements. You know, they're bankrupted. We've got to completely reform or repeal a lot of them. And you know, we need to go back to the type of country that made us so rich in the first place. We did not get rich with all this government. America became rich because we didn't have any government. You know, if you go look at America in 1900, the government on all levels, state, federal, and local, spent 3% of the GDP. Now it spends 42% of the GDP. I mean, the government is enormous compared to what it used to be, and that's why we're struggling. And so if we go back to our roots of freedom and the Constitution and limited government, then we can get out of this hole that we're in. But right now it's a gigantic hole, and all we're doing is digging it deeper, and at some point, you know, we're going to be in the Grand Canyon.
You can hear the Peter Schiff Show throughout the country on more than 45 stations. You can also go to schiffradio.com. Peter, we hope to talk with you again. Thanks so much for your time.
Sure, I do that show, too, every weekday from 10 a.m. to noon Eastern time. So if you want to tune in, I'll be on in a little over an hour.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
All right.